Hello, and welcome to our webinar, Reviving Faith and Charity in the Age of Digital Media. I'm Kate Fowler, the blog coordinator for the Catholic Apostolate Center, and I'm joined by Mary Ann Green, our communications coordinator, and Greta Hausman, our social media coordinator. We're excited to talk about digital evangelization and practical tips for social media and technology, as well as our latest resource, Social Media Crash Course. If you have any technical issues during the presentation, please send a message in the chat box on the bottom right of the screen, and we will be happy to help you out. We will also have a dedicated time for questions at the end of the presentation. Let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening as we learn more about using digital tools and social media to build your kingdom and share the gospel. We ask you to be with us this evening. Send us your Holy Spirit so that all of our efforts may revive faith, rekindle charity, and form apostles. Help us to accompany your flock and those who have yet to know you and your infinite love. Bless our ministries, parishes, and organizations. We entrust ourselves to you and to our Blessed Mother. St. Vincent Pallotti, patron of the Catholic Apostolate Center, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So why are we here? Many of us recognize the vital role that social media and technology play, not only in our world, but also within the church. The online world is also a battlefield, as Pope Francis would say, in terms of a space that needs the gospel. Christ commissioned us, go and make disciples of all nations. We take that literally, not only in the physical world, but in the digital sphere as well. Technology has opened up the doors for us to literally take the gospel to the ends of the earth. So not only are we online because we think it's a good idea, but because Christ has instructed us to do so. We go where the flock goes, and our flock and those we want to minister are online. Pope Francis has also said, it's important for us as leaders in ministry, as lay people, as priests, and as religious, to smell figuratively like our sheep, our flock. Jesus walked with those on the fringes. Jesus listened to, accompanied, encountered, empowered for mission. And we want to imitate Christ's model online. We also want to empower you for mission. The church has a valuable role online. There is space for the church online. And the online world needs more organizations and people who are showing the love of Christ and spreading the gospel, but also willing to encounter and dialogue and accompany those that we find on the online world. The spread of the novel coronavirus has also made this already important work even more important. People right now are feeling isolated, confused, they're asking questions. And the church needs to be present online in a way that meets the needs of those that are questioning or maybe even faltering in their faith. We need to provide an online space of respite, of peace, of love, where people can encounter truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to accompany our flock, even if it looks a little bit different right now. The need is still there. This is a time where we are called to be flexible and creative, where we're all trying to figure out what this looks like and navigate it together. I also want to highlight that Christ said, "Do not be afraid. I am with you until the end of the age." And so as we're navigating this, Christ is with us. If we turn to him, he will teach us not only how to be missionary disciples, but digital disciples. And again, our goal this evening is to empower you to evangelize as a missionary digital disciple. The church recognizes the crucial role that technology and social media can play for evangelization. She sees these as tools that should be used prudently and responsibly to bring unity and to spread the message of Christ's love. We have seen this most recently throughout the papacies of St. John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and Pope Francis. Our Holy Father uses social media daily, and he's not afraid to take a selfie or two with his followers and those he meets. In his message for the 48th World Communications Day, he said, "Let us boldly become citizens of the digital world. The church needs to be concerned for and present in the world of communication in order to dialogue, to help others encounter Christ. She needs to be a church that is capable of accompanying everyone along the way. And she needs to do this to be in the online world with fresh energy to share with others the beauty of God." But before we dive in into some of the practical tips of using social media and some of these online tools, I think it's really important to say that before we dive in, let's listen and take a few minutes of silence and reflection and prayer. Pope Francis also said that we need to recover a sense of silence, of deliberateness and calm, and that we need to be patient. And so before we as organizations or ministries or parishes or just lay people think about our role in the online world, it's important to take a step back, listen, and reflect on what can we bring to the online world? What are people talking about? What do people need? What are they asking? And so before any action, it is always important to have prayer and reflection to really get a pulse for what's going on and how you can uniquely share the gospel of Jesus Christ within the online world. From there, it's important to establish your goals and a narrative. What's your mission and your purpose? What sets your organization apart? It's important to define your story and again, how you will uniquely contribute to the online discussion and the online world with content that glorifies God, but also promotes your specific mission as a parish or organization. This helps us to be authentic and creates a meta narrative which can inspire and unify all of our content. At the Catholic Apostolate Center, our mission is to revive faith, rekindle charity, and form apostles under the guidance of St. Vincent Pallotti, who is our spiritual father and patron. So that is pretty much the meta narrative for all of the content we create, all of our projects, all of our posts, all of our graphics, all of our social media posts can be and should be able to go back to our mission statement. And that should be what unifies and guides all of our posts and content. After reflection, after silence, after setting up your mission and thinking about that, it's also important to define your audience. We can't accompany and evangelize those that we don't know. And so it's important to think about as a team or as an organization, who you're trying to reach out to. Is it people on the fringes? Are we trying to reach out to active Catholics? Are we trying to proclaim the gospel to people for the first time? Are we trying to bring people back to church? Are we looking at ministering to an older demographic or a younger demographic? People of different cultures? All of these are important to consider as we set up our social media and online goals so that we are aware of who we're trying to reach and then able to evaluate if we are reaching those people in fact or not. And from there, we can be an evangelizer. After listening, after reflecting on our mission, defining our audience, all of these things, we can begin to encounter people and accompany them online. Our goal is evangelization, ultimately, spreading the gospel with love. And all of our work must be founded in Christ if it is to bear fruit that will last. So how do we do this practically? Let's turn it over to our social media coordinator, Greta.
Thank you, Kate. So like Kate said, I'm here to share some of the tips and tricks that I've learned throughout my role as the social media coordinator for the Catholic Apostolate Center. I'm obviously not going to be able to cover everything as that would take way too long, but I'm just going to go through some things that I find most important and helpful. And of course, if you want me to expand on something or if I don't mention something specifically, please feel free to put a question in the question box. So So some social media tips. The top three things I want to get through this evening are brand recognition, consistency in your content, and also relevance for your content. So talking a little bit about brand recognition, you want to personalize your feed by creating a brand. When people look at your feed, they should be able to recognize, without seeing your username, who you are as an organization. Who is putting these posts out there and what is their mission? And obviously, maybe the images aren't construing the mission fully, but the captions and other useful things like hashtags can help construe that. So the center, just a practical tip, make sure to use a color scheme and a font scheme so that all of our posts kind of look the same. It's my hope that people who spend enough time on Catholic social media, if they saw a Catholic Apostolate Center post, they would know it was coming from us. That's dreaming big. So I haven't asked anyone on the street recently, though. So we also brand our posts with our full logo or our social media handle. We're very lucky to have our social media handle be consistent across all three of our platforms, Cath, Apostle, CTR. So that way, if we ever see one of our posts floating around somewhere else, we know it's ours and people can be directed back to all of our resources, which is our goal. Ultimately, our social media platforms are just a snippet of what we have to offer, and we want them directing people back to our website. So then moving on to consistency. So consistent content means that people can come to your feed and know when you're going to post and know what to look for. So I think something that we've become known for over the years are our daily feast day posts. I, even though I schedule the posts and create a lot of the content, sometimes forget what feast day it is. And I always look at our Facebook first, just because that's what I'm supposed to do as a social media coordinator. But also it's nice to know that that's where that information can live and you can learn a little bit about that saint each day. So we strive for that on Mondays. We post Motivation Monday. So you know that if you need a little religious pick me up from St. Vincent Pilate, we'll have one for you around 10 a.m. on most Mondays. So that will help get frequent visitors to your social media platforms if they know that you're always posting something. Oh, they always remind us of the readings on Sundays, so I'm going to look there. Something like that can help gain traction on your social media pages. And then finally, relevance of content. So when the pandemic started, our team made an incredibly fast shift to posting coronavirus-related resources. It was an incredible shift that was made possible by many members on our team, but we realized we couldn't sit and wait to plan a perfect strategy. We just had to go. We had to start responding to what was going on in the world. So if there's something going on in the world and you're able to craft something relatively quickly, people are going to see that you're an organization that responds to things and is there with something for them to ponder and reflect upon when there's something going on in our world. And that's also going to help you gain a good following. So now we're going to talk a little bit about content integration, which is kind of similar to branding. And I mentioned this briefly before, that this means when you look at our website, which is that top left image, you can see who we are on our website, on our Facebook page, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And that's something that we strive for, a cohesive look. Of course, it looks more professional, but once again, we're going for brand recognition. We want people to recognize the Catholic Apostolate Center when they see our work. So then we're going to get into the separate social media platforms. I've picked out some things I just want to talk about. Once again, I'm not going to cover everything. So here we are. This is what Instagram looks like. And I just wanted to go over some helpful things that are on your profile. So something that the center finds incredibly useful is link in bio. We do not yet have the feature to swipe up so you can go to our link and see this, that, and the other thing. But what we do have is link in bio, which basically replicates our Instagram feed. And you can look at our link in bio page and click on any image, and it'll direct you to the resource on our website that we want you to look at. That might be how you registered for this webinar, and it automatically updates itself. And that is super helpful for both us and our followers. And another thing about your Instagram feed is stories. So you're probably familiar with stories at the top of your Instagram feed, and they live right where our Infinity Cross logo is. That's where they would be if we had one for that day. Instead of a little blue cross sign, there would be a ring around our image, and that would indicate that we have an Instagram story. Something helpful that you can do with Instagram stories is you can archive them in what we call highlights, and you see them here. We have feast days, podcasts, Monday motivation. The next one that's cut off is accompaniment. So that way, if we ever post a story that you like, you can most likely find it archived in our highlights. And that way it always lives on your Instagram page and your followers can always refer back to it. Like, oh, I really like the story they did for Holy Thursday. Let me go see if I can find it in the True to Him highlight. It's there. I assure you, I love updating our highlights. And then you can also edit your highlights to match your brand by creating covers for them. And this can easily be done on Canva. And I know Marianne will mention that resource later. We really like using stories to just, usually it's the same post we're putting on our feed, but because of the Instagram algorithm, sometimes stories can be more helpful because people see them before they see the post on your feed. I know that's often the case for me. I click through my stories much more than I scroll through my feed. But if I see a post I want to engage with, then I go to that person's feed and look at it. So it's kind of a way to beat the system. Although I don't know everything about that, that's one tip that I do have. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the anatomy of an Instagram post, because of course we know there's an image or a video and a caption, but what can you do to elevate your Instagram post? So why is adding a location to your Instagram post helpful? So when you add a location, that means that someone can go ahead and click on that location. They can click Catholic Apostolate Center and they can see all the other posts that have been tagged at Catholic Apostolate Center. So it's just another way for your content to be visible and searchable on Instagram. That's very similar to hashtags. If you include a hashtag on your post, I'm sure many of you know this, but that also allows your content to be searchable. So when you search hashtag Monday Motivation, hopefully you'll see a lot of our posts, but I bet you'll also see a lot of fitness posts out there. Not a bad thing to be mixed up, you know, faith and fitness. You have to take care of yourself spiritually and physically. But that's just another way for people to find your content besides if they follow you. And then something I also wanted to go over, because I feel like this feature isn't used enough, is the multiple image posts. I like to use these for very dense content. When there's a lot of text that I would want to include on one image, I prefer to break it down and do multiple images. You can do up to 10 images in a multiple image post. I try to keep it somewhere between 3 and 5 because scroll fatigue is a real thing. So for this post I put here, I used it for a series of webinars. Rather than listing all 6 on one page, I did 3 on each page just to kind of break it up. It made the images look more aesthetically pleasing. And then it also, scrolling can be fun. You know, we all have a little less to do these days. So that's just a helpful tip. Okay, so now this is our Twitter page, and this kind of jumps back to what we were talking about in regards to brand recognition and content integration. I think our Twitter page and profile looks very similar to our website, and that's kind of what we're aiming for. We have our mission statement right here up at the top, so it reminds you when you're looking at our page, like, this is what the Catholic Apostolate Center is striving for. This is what they're here for. And that also reminds us when we're posting, when we're thinking about content. So we like to keep that readily available. And then our logo is our profile picture so that it's easily recognizable. And then just going into a little bit of the nitty gritty of Twitter, you have the ability to retweet tweets that go along with your organization. And so, for instance, we frequently retweet Pope Francis and St. Vincent Pallotti to kind of break up our content on our feed and to amplify other voices on Twitter. So if you're in a diocese and you have a bishop or archbishop and you want to retweet them because they have a separate account, that's a great feature. You can also like tweets if you just want to drop a little heart for some support. We do that as well. And then another option that you have is you can retweet with a comment. So here we retweeted Pope Francis's tweet about prayer with a quote about prayer from St. Vincent Pallotti. So we took our patron and we also amplified the voice of Pope Francis at the same time. So those are just a few ways that you can interact on Twitter faithfully with other people. Okay, so that's all I have on my tips and tricks. I look forward to engaging with you guys during the questions, and I'm going to pass things off to Marianne.
Thank you, Greta. So as Greta and Kate both mentioned, it's really important to utilize your resources. During this pandemic, you may have resources readily available to you that you might not be aware of.
So first, we like to call it collaboration from the beginning. Take a listen to and a pulse of your ministry as it is now. So take a look and consider who within your ministry or organization, your parish, may be someone with the time and the talent to share with your ministry, whether it's a web designer or a graphic designer like Greta, or someone who has a hidden talent that you may become aware of, a photographer, a creative, and reach out to them. I'm sure that he or she would be willing to share their time and talent with you. Also, you have staff members who may be able to coordinate with these volunteers and consider creating the bulletin and newsletter spaces that are needed for your brand or your mission statement. I know that at the Apostolate Center, we value collaborating from beginning and with each other as we iterate the process. And as Greta and both Greta and Kate have mentioned, we like to share those online spaces. Right now, I'm sure you've all heard of Zoom, but there are other spaces like Google Meets and Hangouts where you can readily collaborate with these individuals and share thoughts and ideas before you go to the external resources. So to know your sheep, as Kate said from Pope Francis, is who in your community possesses already those time and talent and treasure that you can use. One thing that I want to kind of stress is you don't have to use all of the platforms. I think that is a common feeling that people have when they first encounter social media platforms. They feel that they have to be on every single one of them and do them all very well. We don't recommend that. We actually recommend, as kind of a baseline, that you start with possibly Facebook as a web page. And then if your demographic is a little younger, perhaps maybe Instagram. But to start with one that your community is already familiar with. So poll the people, so to speak. Ask them what they use the most, and then familiarize yourself with that particular social media platform. Our external resources on the social media crash course, each one of them possesses tips and tricks as to how to set up the platform, how to utilize it, and we have wonderful expert tips like Greta was already giving us some in her presentation. So again, it's not meant to overwhelm you, but it's meant to kind of get your creative juices going and take a look at what you're interested in and what your ministry might want to invest in over the course of your ministry time. The Catholic Apostolate Center's free resources here are designed to help you identify and navigate that popular landscape out there in social media. And again, as Greta mentioned, if there's any particular questions that you have on a specific platform, we're willing to answer those when the time comes in the webinar. So speaking of which, some of the wonderful resources that are available for ease of use and also free, and most of them, if anything, are going to help you with your publication, your publishing, your organization when you guys come together and understanding how to use which ones for production, publishing, and even stock images. So here's an array that we have all used at the Catholic Apostolate Center in different ways. So Canva and Lumen 5 are two wonderful resources that use images to create these wonderful posts with text scrolling and music. Both have free resources and again, ease of use, and we'll answer questions on that if you're curious as to those. CathoPic is a great free stock image. They're beautiful images that you can download. It's very easy to use and set up a free, resources for you and your ministry. So if you don't have a photographer readily available and you want to talk about the Eucharist, this is an excellent resource for stock images. Hootsuite, Later, and TweetDeck are ways for you and your team to organize your time as to when you want to post something. So if you feel that you have to spend a lot of time posting, you can coordinate your posts with your team on a schedule So Hootsuite, later, these are ways for you and your team to coordinate, as Greta was mentioning, Saints Days, Monday Motivations, where you're not spending a lot of time on those particular things on that day. So it's a way to organize your posts ahead of schedule. YouTube and Facebook Live, these are ways for you to use these media platforms for masses or prayer groups. And we're going to discuss again a little bit more in detail with Q&A if you have any specific questions with that. But again, our social media crash course has tips and tricks on how to set up those particular sites for planning, production, publishing, and stock images. Moving ahead, the spirit of St. Vincent Pallotti is our inspiration at the center. His life exemplifies 1 Corinthians 13. So if we're truly animated by the spirit of love, we shall always treat all with love, look on all with love, think of all with love, and speak of all with love. And that's St. Vincent Pallotti. He wants us to engage each other on those peripheries with the spirit of charity. And that includes our online platforms. So that said, we want to take a look at being charitable online. These days, keeping in mind St. Vincent's call to charity, a person can become a powerful instrument of God on these media platforms. And echoing this call, Pope Francis says the thing the church needs the most today is the ability to heal wounds and to warm the hearts of the faithful. It needs nearness, proximity. I see the church as a field hospital after battle. Right now, I'm sure everyone is aware that these online platforms can be a battlefield, but we're saying to not be afraid. To enkindle charity and love online means that we are those digital disciples, as Kate mentioned earlier. And it's okay for you to engage others and encounter them through charity when you are posting. But keep consistent with your message and your mission. And having those in mind, it's going to be all right online. So in the age of Ackerman, we want, sometimes it limits us from opening an opinion or evangelizing. We're called to be truthful disciples online. We accompany each other. So if someone may not have that spirit of charity towards you, keep focused on your message. Offer an uplifting message, persevere, stay to the topic. Perhaps that person is hurting and then they want to bring up a particular issue within the church. Maybe focus on that issue within your mission and reach out to that person. We offer online the guidelines from the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, their social media guidelines. So it's okay for you to engage others online with charity. But if you feel that that person may be aggressive, it's all right for you to hide a comment, delete a comment, or even if that person is aggressive in your ministry, it's all right to block them. But always err on the side of charity. And that is key to be a digital disciple these days. So, online boundaries. As Kate noted, when we evangelize, we want to keep the message of Christ in our hearts, to be not afraid. So be sensitive and gentle when encountering others online. Be ready to listen and respond in charity and accompany them along the way. It's also important for you to keep your own online boundaries. We don't want you spending countless hours on social media as well. Having a schedule with your team is really important, and knowing when to post, what you want to post, and to engage others with useful and creative hashtags. Perhaps you want to promote a particular event. Coming up with a clever hashtag is a way to do that, as Greta was mentioning before. So having your own boundaries in a discussion with your team promotes that charitable dialogue online. So in the spirit of Vincent Pallotti, he never disrespected any human person. He rather treated everyone with genuine respect. And as baptized Christians, we're called to do the same. So we're asking you to just keep in mind to review your content, remember your purpose, maintain a consistent voice, relax, be creative, monitor your personal social media use, and be charitable. We're all here to evangelize, to reach out to those peripheries. And yes, initially, it's entering into some unknown territory, but be not afraid. Engage. It's going to be fine. Our social media crash course provides the guides, the tips, and the tricks on how to utilize the most used social media platforms. We provide step-by-step instructions on how to use each of these platforms, and we also provide expert tips in each of the sections. If you're curious as to how to, some of the questions that you might have on setting up the media platforms, we have those as well. If your ministry is at the point of hiring a social media manager, we also have a particular page set up for tips and guides on how to hire a social media manager. So at this time, I'm going to ask my colleagues to unmute themselves, and we're going to take specific questions from the audience.
So Greta, I see one that touches on what you were talking about with Instagram stories and the archive. We have a question asking, are the stories automatically archived, or is this something that you need to be intentional about and something that you need to be proactive about?
So the stories are not automatically archived. You have to go through, and on the bottom right of your Instagram story, you'll see a little heart and a circle. And if you were to click that, then you can add it to the highlight that you want to. So usually at the end of every day, I look at the story and I highlight our various stories so that they go into the right highlight so they can be archived. Very good question.
Kate, I also see a question from John Smith on how do we decide personally what makes good Catholic content and digital media sources to follow and share? It's a good question.
So something that the Catholic Apostolate Center has done in the past too is just making sure to follow some trusted Catholic voices and to reshare some content from people that we know are spreading the gospel message in a way that we as an organization want to promote. And we're very intentional about whose content we share. A few people that right off the bat I'm thinking about following would be, of course, our Holy Father, Pope Francis. The United States Conference for Catholic Bishops is a great place to start. Different archdioceses around the country, different archbishops and Catholic leaders. So those are a few people that I would recommend starting to follow right from the beginning. But in terms of content and how we decide if things are good or not, we look for powerful graphics. We look for things that have a tone that is pastoral and informative. We as an organization have discerned not trying to take sides in a church that can already be very divided politically or even within our church, I'm sorry to say. We really see ourselves as a bridge for others. We see ourselves bringing people together rather than creating more division. We are not, you know, a newsroom. We are not a political think tank, and we are a Catholic organization. And so we leave those kind of incredibly controversial discussions up to those professionals who that is their mission and their ministry. I also wanted to talk a little bit about content and reusing content that you might already be creating as an organization. A lot of ministries and parishes almost don't know where to start with content. And oftentimes we say that if you just take a look at your own website or your own newsletters, there actually is a lot of content that you're creating already that can be repackaged in different ways. And so, for example, we have a newsletter that goes out either every week or every other week, and our director will write a director's desk letter. And so we can turn that into a blog post and post that on our blog, or Greta can pull an inspiring quote from that and make a really beautiful graphic with that quote, and then it can become a social media post such as on Facebook or Twitter or on Instagram. If you are in a parish and you work with a pastor, you can record his homilies each week, and that can be a podcast, or that can be typed out and turned also into a blog post, or also, again, pulling quotes from that. So you also just don't have to reinvent the wheel all the time. It's important to take a step back and see what content you're already creating and think of creative ways to reshare that. And finally, Marianne also mentioned just the importance of using all of these different tools, and how there are a lot of free tools out there, and also pooling your resources. So again, if there's a volunteer that can volunteer 5 hours a week, or if there's a parishioner who says, I really want to engage a little bit more, how can I help? Take people up on those offers and ask questions. And it's okay to mess up with your posts online. You know, it's okay to be creative and try something. And if it doesn't work out, then you can delete something or just try a different method or tactic going forward. So those are just a few of my thoughts. Do you ladies have anything else that you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, can I add? So one of the resources that the Apostolate Center uses very, very well is Lumen 5. And what that does is it creates this wonderful video, very brief video that Greta can then post on Instagram or even through our Twitter feeds. And what it does is it takes the content from already a blog feed or something on the website. So it uses artificial intelligence in order to do that. And it's a wonderful free resource. And you can also like pay for different plans if you have the resources for that. But I highly recommend, looking at those different resources like Canva, Lumen 5, and some of the other, publication pieces for content.
I think Kate did a great job covering a lot of the questions in the question area, but I just kind of want to circle back to the one about recommendations for posting your own, for posting personal content. So whether it be for your ministry, your organization, or yourself, I kind of want to touch on the personal aspect just for a second, because we're all individuals as well. I think whenever I'm thinking about posting something about my faith on my social media feeds, I want to make sure it's something I'm willing to have a conversation with someone about. And then I think also knowing that people are going to disagree with you or can disagree with you is really important. And then just knowing that if they disagree with you, whether it might not be their intention, your intention should be to teach and evangelize to them, both from a standpoint of personal faith and whatever organization you also happen to represent on and offline. So that's just something that I wanted to mention. I think we also touched on this multiple times in the presentation, but in regards to nasty people commenting on things, sometimes I have found that these comments aren't even relevant and they're just mean. So in those situations, we either hide those comments or delete them, because they're not getting us anywhere, and they're not working towards any more education for anyone. If it is a disagreement, that's responding to that person is not a decision that I make all by myself. There are multiple people, including the leadership of our organization, that I talk to before I just decide that I'm going to start a Twitter war with someone. So usually it's directing them back to the resource that we're highlighting with that social media post and be like, you know, I don't know if you fully are trying to understand what we're trying to convey here. Why don't you read this webpage and we can talk about it in the DMs, talk about it privately, rather than putting it out there for everyone. And then at a later time, if you feel like you need to do more education with another post, you can spend time crafting that. And I know Marianne has a lot of experience with those types of things as well.
Yeah, I just want to highlight that. It's when you have someone who potentially disagrees with a post that you have thoughtfully considered with your organization, take a pulse. Please don't forget the Holy Spirit in this conversation. We at the center always begin and end our conversations with prayer. And it's very important to have that understanding that God is part of this. It's not just us as Catholics. We believe in the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so sometimes, as Greta was mentioning, it's best to take a pulse. use the resources like direct messaging and also, you know, the chats, chat boxes, or even on your smartphone, if you go back and forth with WhatsApp or something like that, and have a consistent message, return to your mission. And sometimes you're just going to get a bug, a troll, and it's okay. I just want to encourage people. It's okay to remember, err on the side of charity and delete or block someone. Sometimes it is charitable just to do that. So but that is rare, just so you know. It's not, I don't want everyone to get thinking that just because you put a Catholic post out there, you're going to get something. That it is more on the rare side.
So. Definitely.
I see another question, and it's, how do you have tips to encourage colleagues to move ministry to the digital world?
It's an excellent question. Modeling the behavior is a great first step, especially with people who might be a little nervous in the digital world. I think I have found that most people who have that kind of nervousness, it's because they want to be perfectionists on the platform. They want to be perfect at it. And I can safely say for myself, I was never perfect at it. It takes practice, and it takes a team of just knowing which hashtag to use, when you want to use it, different filters, as Greta was mentioning, having a style guide. Well, that comes along after you have made different decisions and things like that. So
I would also encourage people to start small. Like you were saying earlier, Marianne, that we say, start with one platform, get comfortable with it, do it well, get to a place where you can be consistently posting. That's another thing that we recommend at the center. Again, Greta mentioned that as well, just being consistent, taking a look at your bandwidth, how much can you post and how often, what's feasible for you and your organization. And so if that's one post every day, if that's a post every other day, if that's 2 to 3 posts a day, just getting comfortable with that and maintaining consistency. And then from there, expanding. So you don't have to conquer the online world in a day. You don't have to be a social media expert right away. So maybe just inviting those colleagues and saying, hey, let's try this platform. Let's see, you know, if we can engage more people, because ultimately we're building the kingdom of God. And I mentioned that earlier, that that's our goal. And so just helping reframe that to colleagues that might be a little reticent to engage in the online world, reminding them, especially now during the pandemic, that that might be the only chance that you have to encounter and engage with someone. Especially while we cannot physically be seeing people in the ways that we're used to as a church. We've relied a lot in the past on mass and our events at church to get people in and to reach out to them. And in a time when that's no longer feasible, we have to really be creative about how we're reaching those who are not only regularly in the pews, but may never be unless we're out there. So maybe just bringing it out into the larger context of the mission of your organization and how really you can be reaching more people, especially in this confusing and difficult time.
Yeah, I would just like to add a practical idea. I found often when I'm trying to get something off the ground, rather than saying we should do this, actually having concrete steps on how to do it. Mm-hmm. So I think that we should start an Instagram page and we should post 3 times a week. I think on Tuesdays we could post this, Thursdays and Saturdays, and this is how we can create the content and kind of show your colleagues that you've put some thought into it. And then it's not, you're not just going to throw caution to the wind and hope it turns out well. But sometimes people are more willing to grasp onto an idea and join you if they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'd love to take Tuesdays because I'm really passionate about whatever content we want to post on Tuesdays, and giving them something to latch onto that's more than just a broad idea.
Mm-hmm. And that's also where tools such as Later and Hootsuite can really come in, because they are organizational tools that help you schedule out posts in advance. So with Greta posting our feast days, we know when those feast days are coming. She can set apart a few hours on, you know, once a month or every other week and schedule those out in advance. So it also, you don't have to be online all the time and you can schedule a few things. We found that it's a good balance to have posts that are pre-scheduled and also ones that are more timely and fresh and not as planned. So you can do a little bit of both, but if you have, again, like an intern or a volunteer or just someone that can devote a few hours here and there to scheduling out some posts so that you at least have content, that's also very helpful as you navigate using these tools and being on social media.
And just to add to what Greta and Kate were just saying is it's important to know your audience. If your audience is using a particular media platform, perhaps that's the one to begin with and then build from there. And I know that those of us who are more in the Twitter sphere, using TweetDeck to schedule out conversations or discussions in order to engage your audience, that's also a great way to kind of plan and promote a different type of event, or perhaps you want to have a discussion online during a particular evening from a certain time period and have a hashtag with it. That's another idea and opportunity for those of you who want to use more of the Twitter, like TweetDeck versus Instagram. So there's a lot of options out there, and it's just a matter of prayerfully considering them and knowing your audience and your mission.
Are there any other questions that you have that we can answer?
You're welcome. And the great thing about the social media crash course is, let's say you have a question after our webinar, it is structured in such a way that it has the frequently asked questions that you can just click on the icon and it will come up with those different responses. So that's what's wonderful about this free resource for you guys. You guys, I'm just seeing another question from John Smith about how do we personally decide what makes really good Catholic content?
I know Kate touched on this earlier with following trusted sources in the church, like the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, various dioceses, obviously Pope Francis. So I think that's a really good first step, but also knowing what's relevant, what's going on in the church. You know, our Sunday reading scripture is always a great Catholic content. So that's a good place to start.
He also mentions another question. How can we be charitable when somebody comments on a parish website or a social media page?
I know personally for our blog on the Catholic Apostolate Center website, all of our comments have to be approved. So we do have that filter. And I get a notification every time there's a potential comment and just review it before accepting it. If it has absolutely nothing to do with the content, if it seems kind of like it's spam or just, again, someone trying to be a troll or to steer a discussion somewhere else, we simply do not approve that. And so we do have various sort of filters that we have in place on our website, for example, and then also on social media. We've been fortunate as a center to not have had to deal too much with trolls and nasty comments. I know some of our friends at the USCCB have had some experience with that, and we have actually recorded a podcast on social media. So I invite you to listen to that. Our podcast is called On Mission, And that can also be found on our website. But when we do, we've mentioned this a little bit before, we just go through our comments, and if we see something that is offensive, we've also marked specific words, right, Greta, on Facebook? Like if there's a specific term that's used, it automatically is not posted. Can you talk a little bit about that?
So I honestly haven't updated those settings in quite a while, but that's something that you have the ability to do if you have a page on Facebook. And if you go to your posts within your insights, you can put a setting on so that it'll flag certain comments and send you more timely notifications, or take them down completely if they contain expletives or something like that. So I'm not an expert on that. Kate, you kind of threw me a little bit of a curveball. But if you do have a specific question about that, you can reach us in a myriad of ways, and I'm happy to look into it for you.
So it seems like that's most of the questions that we've received for this evening. And we also want to be respectful of your time. Marianne, did you want to close us out?
Yeah, sure. So we're going to be praying the communicator's prayer. So I would want to offer this up for every one of you who are in our audience this evening, and also those of you who are viewing this webinar at a later time. So in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, you blessed the first disciples with the power to spread God's love throughout the world. Give us a new power to proclaim your word through our own unique gifts and through the channels of clear communication. Make us willing to receive that word as it enters our daily lives. Bless all who use their talents in the field of communications. Guide those who send out the message and those who receive it, so that all people may come to know your truth and be renewed by your love. We ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. St. Vincent Pallotti, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks again to all of my center colleagues for presenting, and thank you to everyone who tuned in and joined us this evening. We'll have a recording of this webinar uploaded to our YouTube channel in the coming week. So keep an eye out there on our website at the CatholicApostolateCenter.org for the link. If you haven't yet followed us on social media, please like, follow the Catholic Apostolate Center on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, in the hope that we'll continue to reach more people with spreading the message of the gospel. In the words of our patron, St. Vincent Pallotti, may the charity of Christ urge us on. Good night, and God bless.
Thank you for listening to this podcast by the Catholic Apostolate Center. Please review and subscribe to this show on Apple Podcasts to stay up to date on the latest content from the center, and go to CatholicApostolateCenter.org for more resources.